I'm not having fun in the moment.
Well, why don't we do some introductions very quickly? I mean, the nature of the introduction would be, for those of you that have been part of the convo, just to let people know your name and what brought you to Holder and why you were here, maybe the position that you held while you were here, some of the volunteer, and then and kind of category where you were young adult, or that was a question. And then maybe what you do. I mean, it'd be helpful beyond Holden, what kind of involvements you have, because it'd be helpful to just get a picture. And then the rest of it is just an open forum, particularly for staff to be able to ask any questions about the project, ask questions or make statements or whatever you want to do. And I'll begin. My name is Lucy Forster-Smith. I am one of the researchers on this terrific project. What brought me to Holden was the research. Came last year just for a brief touchdown, just to kind of get a feel for this place. I mean, never been here. It was amazing. And outside of this place, I am the chaplain at McAllister College in Minnesota, and I'm a Presbyterian minister, and work with our Lily Project at McAllister on work ethics and education. Well, maybe we'll hold out just for a minute longer and then make sure we get everybody in there.
And those guys, I don't know where I started.
Please come in. This is meant to be, unless you choose to leave the room.
Oh, you think there's more coming?
I don't know. Some of the stars are
running too. Oh, okay.
A little bit of a mix up on time, so if you will continue to join us, it's not again, welcome everyone, and I thought we'd do some quick introductions just around the circle so we can know who staff are and who participants in the convocation are. So the notion is to just share with us your name and what brought you to Holden, and perhaps the position or positions that you've held here, what area of work you've done, and then what you do beyond Holden in terms of a career or vocational calling. So, here we go.
I do. I'm Bob Lindstrom. I'm currently a pastor in South Haven, Michigan. And my Holden connection is with the convocation. Based on being here on semi-long-term staffing in 1981, in and out in the later years of the 80s. While here, I was a fire chief and a maverick and a maverick crew boss and a driver and a head driver and a hydro helper and those kinds of things. And in addition to my staffing here in the early 80s, I was back for sabbatical for 10 weeks in 2003.
And a combo.
And I'm a participant in the convocation, yes.
Can you just zip around?
And, who are you?
So you are. Why?
Why are here?
Why you are.
Why I am.
Who you are and why you're here.
More relaxed. I'm Tom, one of the directors. I've been here just about a year now. Is it history too? Is that what you're looking for? Okay, I came to Holden the first time in 1970. As a guest in the winter, and then returned in the summer of 72 as a village musician, and then was up here, I think, for three or four winters teaching in high school, and the last time I was here for now was 77, 78, as the director's assistant for the winter girls the first semester of the year.
I'm Christopher Gillia, and I first came to Holden in summer of 1977, and spent the winter here, and returned in 1981 on long-term staff, and returned in 1997 as operations manager, position I hold now.
Great, thank you. I'm Bethany Mueller, and I'm currently one of the staff coordinators here, and my Holden history is much shorter than my past two, but I started coming as a guest, actually through Partners in Ministry, 3 years ago, and have been short-term staff. So I don't know. I'm long-term.
I'm Barbara Moreland, and my history is even shorter than hers.
I came to Holden for the first time the weekend of July 17th last year, and that was my first time here, and on August 3rd, I accepted the position of publications coordinator, and on August 24th, I was here. And I will be here through the end of September, and I don't really know what happens after that.
Jim Lapp, and participant in convocation, and came to Holden in the summer of 1990, Hike House, came back and visited some long-term staff, Ron Sue Dwyer Ross, 1995, and then was here on sabbatical in 2003, and did some lawns and gardens work too, and I'm a pastor at St. Stephen's Lutheran Church in Santa Cruz, California.
I'm Mark Pritchard. I was here for the convocation this week. I was here for 6 weeks in 2003 for a half sabbatical, half staff, during which I worked in the kitchen.
I'm Matt Perry. I'm the computer support person in the village right now. I'll be here until next July. My history with Holden is pretty long. I've been coming up here, I don't know, since the early to mid-80s. I was here as a kid a lot, and worked here during college on short-term staff, and now I'm here long-term. And pretty soon I have to go do dishes, but I'll be here as long as I can.
Paul Shadwell, and I'm along with Lucy and Chris and Gary, who is now hopefully safely ensconced somewhere on the lower part of the mountain, close to the lake. We're helping to coordinate the convocation, and I work at McAllister College, which is a small liberal arts college in St. Paul, Minnesota.
I'm Maren Holden. I am a short-term staff member now. I guess the only time I've been to Holden before now was when I was in high school, and it was like the fall of October of 1999. My family came out here to visit my godfather, who was working as the high school teacher at the time, who ended up marrying the elementary school teacher, and they're no longer here. But I haven't been here in 7 years, and I just got here 2 weeks ago. It's always been a place that my family, I think, has understood pretty well. My dad's a Lutheran pastor, and my grandfather worked in the National ALC office at the time when Holden was getting started in the Youth Ministries Division, so... it's always...
Who was like, that? Who was your grandfather?
Rusty Hallis.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And,
I worked with him.
Yeah, everybody did. I just graduated from college, and I thought it would be a good idea to come out here for 4 months. I'll be here till December. I'm in minors, junior minors now, and I'll be in the kitchen starting in a couple weeks.
I'm Carolyn Hindley. I came out here first on volunteer staff in 1970, and then you heard part of the history last night. It all happened. It's all true. Then in we were here. Paul
she,
and I were
she
here
wasn't
two
lying.
Years.
No, she was lying. No, I mean okay. She was a lion. She's not lying.
Too many hours. Pit to get those that settled in. Anyway, so we were here for a couple of years in the 70s and then ran a restaurant for 25 years and were here very little and then until this last year and a half, beginning a directorship thing.
I'm Mark Opgren. The last time I was here in the summer was 1986, so that's been 20 years. It's been a weekend once in 88 and 89, I think, in the winter. I came first in 69 on staff, spent parts or all of 6 summers and a winter, with the last stretch being 73-74, about a year and a half, and currently I'm a pastor in Wilmington, North Carolina, but I was a cook while I was here, and I guess you already know that part.
You made that clear.
Or
Madden's
or...
I'm Leslie Lapp, and I was here in the summer of 1990 doing lawns and landscaping, as it was called then. And then I came back and did some visiting of friends 2 different times, and then was here for a 2-week work 4 summers ago doing a blow dry.
I'm Larry Huff. I've been here since August 4th. We'll be leaving September 1st. I'm the village pastor. And this was my first experience at Holden. That's
been great. August 4th, 05.
05.
Oh, wow. My name is Patrick. I'm a lead cook. First time I came here was 1990. And I've been on and off as a guest. And then came to work with Sonny.
I'm Chuck Lutz. Our first time here was 65, the early years of the village as a Lutheran center. We've been here, I think, 24 times, all but once in the summer. We were here once in the winter of 87 when I was working on the book Surprising Gift. And I've usually done teaching when we've been here. My wife Bertha has been here in other roles, and she can tell you about them.
When we came in 65, we had three preschoolers, 1965. We lived at the top of the hill, and of course the infrastructure, the paths and everything were not in at that time. And it rained all week. And I vowed I'd never come back.
It was not a good experience.
Anyway, I came back times, and I ended up being on the board for 12 years. And then I also led the first capital campaign, raising funds for infrastructure. Is that significant?
Yes.
My name is Chris Johnson, with Paul and Lucy and Gary. Have been facilitating a convocation this week. I'm on the research team, and I direct the Center for Vocational Reflection at Gustavus Adolphus College in Minnesota.
I'm Mark Manti. I've recently been elected to the board, so Carol invited me to come listen to this, and I appreciate that. I started coming to Holden around 1991, I think. And it's been a good experience for our family. My wife was on staff in housekeeping for a month here, and our three girls have thoroughly enjoyed it.
Where do you live?
Snohomish, Washington. And I am a medical group administrator.
I'm Marnie Stromseth, from Western Washington, Snohomish. And I first came up here in 89. Was talked into coming up here, didn't know anything about it. Supposed to not being Lutheran, by somebody who'd been in the Lifestyles programs, I think in 74 maybe. And I came up for 6 weeks and stayed for a year and a half. Mm-hmm. And I did, worked on the looms, just the agronomist, lawns and gardens, person drove a bus, climbed everywhere. I don't know, when you're here a long time, you do a lot of everything. Right now I teach 3 to 12-year-olds and Montessori programs, work real hard connecting spirit and nature.
Thank you. I'm Nadine Sanders, and I was a young adult on winter, parts of 2 winter communities, 1989 and then 89 and 90, and I did Maverick, Kitchen, Tape Ministry, and Local Pagan Woman. Another role I played. And I've been back numerous times as a performer and earlier this summer teaching staff. Mm-hmm. And part of convocation.
Kristen Anstett, part of convocation, came up here as a child, did a couple summers in Narnia and Hike House a little bit. And then I came up again and did kitchen for a month and then opened Narnia, did Miners from the Miners, and then was the TA with Scott and Christine. 2000-2001. And I'm in Seattle and I teach in Bellevue.
I'm Melissa Kreider. I live in Boston. I spent most of my life on the East Coast, so I don't know, but I try and journey back to Holden here since I first came here in 1999 to visit a friend on long-term staff, and kind of immediately fell in love with it and kind of rearranged that summer so I could spend that summer here, and then it was all I could do to go back to not take a leave of absence from my nursing school program and come on long-term staff that year, but did so the following year after I finished school and was a lead cook in 2000-2001, and am now, didn't consider myself Christian when I came here, and now I'm finishing seminary.
I'm Hallie Florine, and I came here for the first time 20 years ago with my son, and then in the last 6 years, I came every summer, and then I've been on the full-time, at long-term staff now for a year and 5 months, and I'll be here for 7 more months. My home is in San Francisco, but I'm a contributions recorder right now.
We hope you're really busy. Anybody else that didn't get introduced me?
Kirk Palmer from Houston. I'm here for the convocation. Came to Holden May a year ago for a couple weeks of sabbatical, and I worked in the kitchen.
Well, I'm Paul, and Carol has explained everything.
I don't think that we had a set agenda when we met with the Lily team here at Holden Village. One of the things that they said would be interesting would be to have a time just for staff and people who are here with the convocation to be able to ask questions of one another or be able just to talk amongst themselves. And so I think just from going around the room that there's a lot of collective experience here and a lot of collective wisdom from the person who literally wrote the book on Holden Village to people who have experienced Holden Village in various decades. And so we didn't have a set agenda or anything, but more just creating a time for people to ask questions and dialogue. So I can turn things over if anybody has a first question.
I read the description of the research project some time back. Could you do just a real quick summary of the objectives, what it is you're looking for?
Sure. This is one small component of the grant that Holden Village received from the Lilly Foundation. And the Lilly Foundation is a foundation based in Indianapolis that is connected with Lilly Pharmaceuticals. And the Lilly Foundation has been very interested in the years in things of religion in American life, spirituality, higher education, philanthropy, a number of different projects. And so to kind of back up, a number of, I guess up to 88 colleges now have received grants from the Lilly Foundation to do work around vocation and helping young adults explore vocation. Because increasingly the Lilly Foundation has been seeing that a lot of the times where people are struggling with the big questions of life, especially younger people, those things don't necessarily just happen in traditional churches anymore. Those things happen in other kinds of places and other kinds of institutions. And one of those important institutions are colleges. And so they open up the questions, what are colleges doing to open the question for younger people about how do I make meaning in my life, what place does religion have in my life, and even more specifically, have you considered religious leadership? Because I think there's also this sense there that a lot of young people go to college and religious leadership of one form or another isn't even on the radar. And so Lucy Forster-Smith and Chris, they are directors of the Lilly projects at their own institutions, so McAllister College and Gustavus Adolphus College. And they've developed programs, both curricular and co-curricular, to think about this vocational piece. So really,
we have sent at McAllister, which is one of the most godless institutions in the country, we have sent something like 24 students to seminary through the past 5 years. So it's working.
So students at a place like McAllister could do a seminary study away or seminary visits or other kinds of programs that think about things. And so this project is a little bit similar to that in thinking about exploring what role Holden Village has played as a place that isn't necessarily a traditional church as you would think of it, but as another kind of community and another kind of place that has affected the vocational choices of young adults through the years, that has served as a place where clergy, which have a high rate of burnout and lots of job stress, can come for sabbaticals and renewals, and where kids have grown up and have gone on to do some amazing things. And so basically the proposal that that Holden Village had written, what they wanted was two convocations, one occurring this summer and then one for next summer, where a variety of groups would come together, people who spent sabbaticals here, people who grew up as children in the village, and people who experienced Holden for extended periods as young adults throughout its history, could come together and talk about their experiences sort of across these different divisions and share things a little bit about what makes Holden Holden and what their experiences were like. And then in addition to that, some one-on-one interviews with a limited number of young adults, some surveys of sabbatical people, and some one-on-one interviews with children who grew up in the village. And so this is one piece of that.
And focus groups.
And a focus group. So some focus groups in the Twin Cities and in Seattle about ways that people in these communities have taken their Holden Village experience or the things that they've learned here and tried to live it out in those specific settings.
And then beyond, or in addition to the church leadership, church vocations kinds of things that you mentioned, both at the colleges and in terms of the Holden Village as a mentoring community grant-related project, vocation is understood in its broadest sense as well, in terms of a calling and invitation to have one's life be as meaningful and full of purpose in serving the world in whatever capacities that is, church leadership being among them, but not the only venue in which a person can live on a calling to be a service in the world.
There are callings in secular life, too,
of course. Absolutely.
And I've been aware that at least some of the college programs have included taking students to advocacy events in Washington, D.C., Orchard, and Gustavus has, and some of the other colleges have done that. To focus on our calling in citizenship life, in political life, our calling as citizens. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This past Monday, one of the guests here, I don't know if they're related to the convocation or not, came into my office specifically to talk about calling. Mm-hmm. Now, it wasn't necessarily to ordain ministry, but there was a possibility of seminary in the background. And you just want to sit down and talk. That's not unusual.
Just two of the things that we've noticed, and just I'll shut up and kind of move back and let you guys take over, but two of the things that we've noticed is that have kind of been key for us both at the college and I think here in this study is one is the necessity of reflection. And I think because everything out in the world is just so overheated, and especially I think we've noticed this at the college level, that everything is just so frantic and frantic moving that I don't think that there are spaces and places for people. I think one of the conferences, maybe it was the one that we went to, they talked about the speed bump in the road. That was Chris's phrase, of places where people can actually reflect on those deeper values rather than just doing. That's one. And then the second one is thinking about mentoring. And what does it mean to be a mentor over the various decades for people? So those are just two things to throw out.
I think for many of us that experienced the call to ministry, the first was the call to be rooted in our baptism. I mean, that was so fundamental during my period, and I believe I'm speaking for the others who were with me who have now left and gone down the hill. But that was real, real clear. And yet in this community, that there was so much a celebration of lots of people's gifts that it happened among some that certain gifts were identified, and then the question became, well, perhaps those gifts would be good in service to the church as an ordained or as a layperson. Because I know the first time I went to seminary, it was really going to seminary. It wasn't like going to be a pastor. It was just going to learn more about the Bible history, tradition, all that, and then maybe that call would become clear in terms of specific direction, but so much of it was really just the community itself lifted up the gifts. And I never felt it happened in much reflection, quite frankly. It happened because somebody said, you should go to seminary after doing a matins or after, doing pastoral care in the kitchen, or something like that.
Breaking eggs, maybe.
Yeah. That was more of a reflective thing, I will admit.
Well, I'd love to know what drew you in here, those of you that are on staff, what brought you in this room, and, I mean, you know, are there particular things that you would like to know of what we've been doing in this room for the last week, or is there anything more broad about the project? You know, just to feel real free to just ask any question, and we'll get out of the way and let our convo participants.
Or tell stories or so.
Anything you'd like to do, stories, anything that would provide.
I'd like to know more about what will happen with the results of the research and how it will be made available to people who are interested in what was learned.
Well, that is the honest answer is that we're not exactly sure, except that we know that it will be made public. And
there will be some writing done.
There will be a document that's some kind of a monograph on the research that we've done. And we're not yet at a point where we will know exactly what that will look like, whether it will be a book or a web-based kind of
journal article.
It could be any number of things. One of the things that struck all of us, though, is the uniqueness of this project and that Holden had it in its vision to be able to do this, because very little research, if any, has been done on the impact of this kind of a community in terms of shaping particularly young adults, young adult vocation, but even broader to provide reflective opportunities. And yet these places have incredible impact. It's clear. So I think we're really it'll be a groundbreaking and probably spur a lot more research, you know. And also, I think the hope is that, you know, this will provide a kind of outside view for Holden to be able, for the board and other people to be able to kind of move forward on some initiatives, realizing that 50 years is coming up pretty soon in the life of this community. And there are other things. But our purpose is not to be sort of consultants to the board to then provide that, but to be really almost disinterested researchers who are then going to provide for the village a kind of...
Has the writing been assigned? Is it the team?
We'll be doing it. And I'm really excited about that part of it.
It's envisioned to be a 3-year project. The convocation basically marks the end of the first year. So we still have a ways to go, both in terms of doing research and then also figuring out what we can do with everything. Mm-hmm.
To what extent have you been able to talk with previous village pastors about their experience in terms of call and vocation?
I did a 2-3 hour one-on-one interview with Maya Baumgartner not too long ago, and another with Dan Karin Verlander.
And 35 or less.
Yes, some of them.
And that wasn't specifically named as part of the research to do that kind of thing. They were most interested in the young adults, but we've been doing these kind of wise figures through the years as ways to gain more insight. And again, if you have questions too about participants here too, not just the, you know, please open it up to. There's a lot of.
I'm curious how the participants were selected, and in particular, like, I'm trying to say this in a constructive way. The people who are here, enthusiastic about being here, will bring a certain point of view, it seems to me, about the village. And those who fell off the wayside for whatever reason may have another voice. So how would you address that?
We did talk about that this morning.
It keeps coming up. It's such an interesting, yeah. I mean, not even now, but, you know, what about the people that had a quote-unquote crappy experience here? Or, you know, what about the people who are just, hate that place or something?
Or in this group, you know, for whatever reason.
They've told us that they're doing interviews outside with people who are here. So they've talked to people who weren't able to come. And they've talked a lot about struggling just to locate people.
Sure.
Because there's no real list anywhere of people who volunteered. So I think it's been kind of...
My impression is they really broadly put it out as much as they could. Everybody had an opportunity. Part of the reason everyone's here, I guess, is that we filled out a questionnaire when it was sent to us. That's one simple thing. If we didn't fill it out, then we didn't get invited. But then there was, if people looked at the website, there was an invitation that way. So,
and I think one of the things that came to mind, I think this was something that was really struggled with, because I think what at least the team when we were meeting with them originally, what people didn't want was just a gloss or nostalgia kind of piece about Holden Village. But I think one thing that we found with the one-on-one interviews, especially over the phone where we have an interview questionnaire, and even in this group, is that people have a wide range of experiences about Holden Village and a wide range of perspectives about sort of Holden Village's past, present, and future. And I think if you, once the conversation starts and you get beyond you know, a certain point, people share some of the difficult moments, some of the trying moments, things that they've observed happening in the village at their particular time. And you know, the way that we take that too is that some of the difficult moments are also some of the best moments, because it's kind of in that struggle that some of the real nuggets of wisdom are gleaned.
I think also what I got from convocation was they were looking at people who have been here and gone. Because they were looking at what impact has Holden had on your life outside of the village.
Yeah. So what did you take from this place towards your vocation? So they needed to have distance from the village.
It's probably too early to say entirely, but what are your thoughts on the next year's work? I mean, I'm sure you'll have some processing to do, but do you foresee any changes in your approach or how are you going about this?
Well, what we need to do is we need to get some more names. So mm-hmm. we really are needing to, we have a goal of interviewing 25 to 30 young adults who spent time at Holden for a minimum of 9 months and longer. So, and we have some of those interviews done, about a third of them done. We need to get some more names. So we'll be doing that, you know, going on down the road. And it's been helpful to kind of look at the broad, you know, the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, you know, that range of people. So that'll be one we need to do to really develop and hone our children population, because we promised to do at least 10 interviews with children who spent time in the...
Those who were children here.
Yes, yeah. We're children here, not children currently, but children who spent... And then we will develop a... Our timeline is at some point, probably later in the second year, I think we were going to do the sabbatical survey. So we have to develop a survey to send out to people who spent time in sabbaticals. And the idea is not to do necessarily one-on-one interviews with that, but to do a survey of people who have spent time here in sabbaticals. I think one of the things that came for me, just an initial impression of the complication that's come, is interest in kind of the way that leadership in the village has really shaped a kind of ethos, and it's a very, you know, different leaders through the decades have really shaped the ethos, and I don't know if that will have an impact on perhaps some of the way that we may hone the survey a bit, or the questionnaire a bit, to get at some of that. There's just some really interesting patterns that are beginning to emerge, but I think we just need to continue our data collecting, basically, for the next year, and then my suspicion is that the third year after the second convocation, that will be the time that we'll really start to patterns will emerge, and we'll begin to see how we can shape this model for activities.
Thank you, Christine.
I'd like to hear more about that idea about how the village changed over the years. You said, according to directors, different directors that have been here, are there people that can share more about that?
In conversation with a small group with people who were up here in the 70s, the Google Lifestyle Program, which I had never heard of before, a very conscious focus on spirituality, theology, conversation. They met once a day to talk. I mean, this was a very sort of intensive program.
Proclamation came up a lot.
Yeah. When I was up here, 2001, and even in the summers in the late 90s, I was here to work and kind of have fun. And I was doing it within the context of the Christian community, but I don't remember, there was no program specifically built in. So that was kind of interesting for me to hear that at different times the village is focused on different things. I felt like my year was very social justice oriented, environmentalism, that's what's had the most impact on me and how I impact my students.
Mm-hmm. What Marco was talking about with his experience in the 70s was much different than mine and more intense than those areas, but what was happening in the greater world, mm-hmm. just in the United States and the greater mm-hmm. world, the events, mm-hmm. Vietnam was a big impact on that. Mm-hmm. So that the world of events outside mm-hmm. also
reflect what happens here, not just the directorships. Yeah. So I think that's important too.
Another thing that came up is I was here during a transitional leadership and then at the start of a short-term leadership. And
which one?
Paul Bowe was interim,
and then Scott Hasseruk. Mm-hmm. And for me, I don't remember anything about these directors. But what stood out then, since we didn't have this dynamic director, was the leadership of the area heads mm-hmm. and just the people in the community. They were the big influence on me. So, you know, it wasn't anybody who was chosen to lead us, mm-hmm. but I think that was a big thing that was brought up in different people's stories, how important the individuals in leadership roles or just working with in the kitchen.
The 80s, it seems like the catchphrase was John and Mary Schramm, and it was to live a just and humble lifestyle. That seemed to have made a really strong impression on the 80s, and then I felt like a place apart and hospitality were sort of catchphrases of the early 2000s, and the
I heard hospitality a lot, you know, all across the board. But.
I too heard, as someone who'd been here in the 80s with Schramm's, and listening to, we had a large contingent of folks from the 70s who had experiences with Hinderleys back then. I heard many speak, particularly in the early years of Holden, of the very significant role that those village directors played. And yet, even as we lifted up the significant mentoring and vocational discernment that came with leadership from some of those folks, we also began to speak of the, as noted here, the mentoring that came from this community, from the people who became friends and co-workers. And Holden has the ability to give you time for those kinds of relationships that go deep. This is a unique place. There's another theme that came up in much of the context of our conversations. The place has been a constant, whether you were here in the 70s, 80s, 90s, or in this decade. The place has been a sacred venue for the vocational search and discernment. And then different times have had different roles of the key leaders or the key partners among colleagues who were part of the mentoring and discerning and journey. Sacred place and sacred time kept showing up in my mind as I listened to people speak of their time here. You know, time being a time set apart, not only a place set apart, but a time set apart to go deep.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say, like, one of the things that comes up a lot is reflection, and I guess one of my questions for convocation participants is how, like, the process of this week of, like, reflecting in the ways that, so I've heard you've been asked to reflect, has changed or shaped your, like, memories of this place and your own understandings of how it changed you.
There's been some very evocative processes here. We had a process where we split up into groups of three and told to take our partners in that group to a most important place in the village. And I was particularly struck by a time with a young woman who was here as a child, 7-8 year old, who had a tree behind Chalet 3 that was her friend, her refuge, her safe place. She took us down to the campfire pit, and we would have gone on to the Hobbit House and other places, you know, as a 7 or 8 year old, the sacred places. And then from that, the stories that started to pour out, and many of them stirred the stories in the rest of us of what it was that really made this a remarkable place. We had a number of small group kind of experiences like that that were, you know, intended to trigger deep memory and share of this place. So it's an interesting process.
And you went literally to the place, yeah. Geographically, not just orally or verbally.
Yeah. Yeah.
We went to that place and then spoke and asked questions and
even if it was Lyman Lake?
That group is still out there.
We hope to hear from them.
I
thought
it wouldn't fit in that group.
Anyway.
We just went to the hike houses.
Right.
Symbolic.
Some symbolic places in certain cases. That was very important. Place is important here. We have a connectedness to certain aspects of this place, all of us.
One thing that was really intense for me was yesterday we spent time talking about our process of leaving the village and sort of
what we did to prepare and how the community helped us to prepare to interface with the world after being here. And, you know, we talked about that there's, because it is such a place apart, there's this sort of sense of it's almost a tragedy when you leave the village, or, you know, when they announce the people who are leaving tomorrow, there's this collective, or whatever. And the prayer of farewell is pretty dramatic, and it's almost like being ripped apart from this womb or something like that. And, you know, that I think, I don't know, of finding ways that as a community, we can prepare ourselves, you know, and have a lot of dialogue about leaving and what we're taking with us and what is always with us that is holding, and it's not just, you know, that we're ripping ourselves away from it, because I know that's, I don't know, for me that was really painful then. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went around comparing everything else to Holden and trying to recreate it, and it just didn't work.
And it was interesting to compare the stories of young adults who were here to those who maybe came out on sabbatical, where leave-taking was not much of an issue. You know, this may not have been the most significant place in life to pause, whereas others said this was the most significant place or the most formative time. And we needed to be reminded, I think, that there were multiple experiences and remain multiple experiences of how it is one engages in leave-taking in a place like this. But for long-term young adult staff, the nurturing of leaving became a priority, kind of directive, more conversation.
And I know for me coming back, my experience has been a really affirming, strengthening, character building. And coming back was really a refreshing of that and a reminder that, well, that strengthening, you know, that's Christ. It, you know, it's not just confidence came from somewhere. It's, you know, that's Christ at work, you know. You kind of wake up and listen to that once in a while. Those of us that aren't theologically in our backgrounds or pastors. And I'm quite excited going back to my young children and my teaching, and the fact that I haven't really planned my curriculum for this year. And I know my background, but it's like I know what flavor it needs to go a little bit deeper into that. And so it's also been really refreshing to be able to take the whole thing experience out again.
I understand that the emphasis of the grant is young adults and people who were affected, how they were affected in vocation earlier, somewhat bad. But are you looking at all, or have you run into the people who are in transition as adults who come here essentially in the same situation as the younger people, but just at an older age?
Have you midlife crisis?
Not necessarily crisis, but change.
Yeah.
I think there's a little of that that came up. I think right now we're trying to kind of follow the rules of the, you know, the grant or kind of the agreement, which was to, you know, look primarily at these three groups. But for example, Margaret Lovejoy, who was here with her child, she fits that pretty much to a T, that she came here, I think, when she was 40 with her child. And in the midst of incredible amounts of change. What was it?
Four kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then went to seminary.
After that. And now is running a day center for homeless families. So.
And I think one of the realities is that this was a first go, and the people that wrote the grant decided that this was, you know, these would be the major foci. But my suspicion is that there will be spin-offs from this, and maybe back to Lily or some other grantor to see if there are some other conversations or dynamics that need to be explored. So
I think to the extent that you focus on sabbaticals, that you'll inevitably go that direction. Mm-hmm. Because sabbatical folk are by and large older folk. Mm-hmm. I mean, not ancient, but older.
Seasoned.
And there are, in fact, transitions that take place during sabbaticals.
Mm-hmm. Yes, uh-huh. Very much so.
Sabbatical being defined by people in the church coming here.
Not in every case.
Mm-hmm. Not every case.
But the overwhelming majority, I think.
Yeah,
and I think it's true. I mean, I don't know which is, this is something I don't know, is which division or of Lilly that this grant was actually secured out of, but I do know that Lilly is really interested in religious leadership, and so that is a kind of limit that, tends to, we help Lilly broaden that, you know, in terms of seeing that. But, you know, their worry really honestly was that there's diminishing numbers of people who are willing or interested in religious leadership, whether it be in clergy or leadership, but also, you know, just to kind of really stay very, very focused on that. And, you know, that's not an apology, it's just truth. And, you know, you have to kind of, grantors give you money, you got to work with what they want. So, not to diminish all those other experiences, because it's a time in our collective life when reflection from many different angles of our world need to happen. There's a longing for that. So.
Why is Lilly interested in religious work like this? I mean, we probably wouldn't get this from the Gates Foundation if we applied. Would we? I mean, what is it about Lilly?
I think honestly, I've had a conversation with them about this. I sit on the board that oversees the ADA college grant, so we've had a conversation. They were actually worried that not only the numbers of people going into ministry, but the quality of that leadership was really diminishing, and how they make that assessment.
But why is the foundation, are they interested in that at all instead of another issue?
They've historically been interested in sort of the what's emerging as basically mainline Protestant, the history and the kind of contemporary reality of what's happening in the mainline Protestant churches in America. So they've been very interested in Protestantism in America.
Well, Eli Lilly was a Lilly family. I mean, the foundation's separate from the corporation.
Right.
You know that.
And Eli
that would imply
Lilly was,
some kind of commitment that the family who had the money had in the future. So they cared about something that has now impacted a lot of people themselves, which is sort of maybe parallel to looking at this in this way, too, to see it through, right?
Thanks for pushing that. Yeah, it's Lilly was an Episcopal lay person who developed interest in religion, education, and
philanthropy.
And philanthropy. Okay. So those are kind of things.
It is interesting that in the early 70s, Holden was denied a grant from the Lilly Foundation because even though they loved Holden very much, they felt that Holden was too tied to congregational ministry to be...
Really? In the early 70s?
Yeah. Yes. And they felt that the future of the church had nothing to do with, at that point anyway, the leadership of the foundation.
That's so interesting.
The future of the church had nothing, or had little to do with congregational ministry.
What did it have to do with? As opposed to what?
They didn't know, but they felt that they were interested in retreat ministries as part of the future. But they definitely felt the parish era of the parish was over.
Well,
sort of like at that point, the era of the family was over too. But where else do you go? Besides, I mean, there has been renewal in thousands and thousands of congregations. Mm-hmm. Interesting, Carol was reading to me from Anne Lamott the other night. You know, what gives Anne Lamott continual renewal? Her congregation. It's not the Penn Foundation.
But it took her a long time to get there, you know, too. Mm-hmm. Like her, she went to a lot of other places first.
She did.
You know.
Yeah, you find an awful lot of her.
But for many years, maybe decades, the Lilly Endowment had been making grants to theological education.
Right.
And I think that's where their focus was. In fact, in the early years of the ELCA, there was a study of theological education in the ELCA. And how many seminaries do we need? What should they specialize in? And that was assisted by a grant from the Lilly Endowment.
They still focus on that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this ADA college project was a very big risk on their part to try this. They had no...
And that's a new venture.
That's a new venture in the last 5 years or 6 years.
How does the college administers grants from the Lilly Foundation that are basically related to worship, and some not huge grants, but they go out to a fair number of people. They tend to be in the area of what are you doing that's somewhat different. what do you think is significant?
Yeah, that's right.
Whether it be in the parish level or synodical level or church wide.
Question, as a board member, I'm curious how you're going to take the wonderful collective wisdom of all these folks and give us some ideas on their will for the future and where they feel God's leading in the future. And how, and maybe that's a good thing to talk about right now, too. But, I think that would be very helpful.
Did you guys catch what the question? I'm not sure if I know quite what you're asking.
Well, as you reflect on your own experiences here and how it's changed you, holding can go a lot of directions, probably. Mm-hmm. What's your vision?
I was very impressed. Having really had no experience with Holden until I came here as a sabbatical and staff in 2003, it was a real education for me this week to hear people's stories from previous decades and how different it seemed to feel to live here as a young person and to be a young person. And I think if I can sort of speak for a consensus that seemed to be emerging a little bit, it sounded as if people felt like there was a need to get back to some of the emphases or some of the integrations of program and spirituality that seemed to characterize the early decades. But I also, I heard that not as being pure nostalgia at all, but I think we got a sense of how effective that ethos had been back then. And just from my very limited experience fairly recently, it certainly seemed to contrast with how old it is now.
Can I just put in a plug right now, an advertisement? Mm-hmm. And I'm not being prescriptive or anything, but this fall we're going to have a 6-week program called Living the Leap, which could begin to fill some of this need, and that it will be about vocation and about call, vocation and call both. But this is something that, if you know of anybody who is interested in dropping in for a week or 3 or 6 weeks, this might be something really significant.
And it was interesting yesterday when we had one of our last gatherings was a gathering of clergy who were among the group and talking about vocation and discernment and how Holden fit into that and what we envisioned. That was lifted up without knowing much about it. Several mentioned the LEAP program with a sense that, oh good, here's something that is reaching in to give some tangible connection to that study of vocation. There was also, in the context of that conversation, a thought that we probably need to be seeking other partners, colleges, other organizations and entities out there to buy into the partnership with Holden. So, for instance, when you look at the future of this place, don't assume that the same way that we gather volunteers and others here is going to be the working system. Do we need to be finding partners among colleges themselves, among faculty in colleges, to create new internships or new ways of being here with either academic credit or with grants to support the immersion? Is there a need for a new paradigm, I guess, in lifting up those who might come? That's one of the questions Lily is asking, about church vocation, but the whole vocation of entering into Holden as a young adult or a young person also needs to be studied. Just that calling to be in a place apart, the calling to be giving of yourself. Even to the point of saying, mission trips. Should mission trips go to a place like Holden? Mm-hmm. Do we see that Holden is vital enough for the life of the church, more broadly defined, that even organizations like YouthWorks and others who send kids out to serve might consider a place like this? The ability to find new ways to bring bring people to this gift was part of that conversation, a pretty vital, pretty dynamic moment. All of a sudden there were a lot of ideas flying around and a lot of desire to see, you know, new ways to both enliven and take advantage of the life of this place.
And this is also something that's another component of the Lily Grant that Holden received. So all of those, you know, what part of that grant went for a partnership builder on the outside. So any of those ideas would be very valuable to share with Brad Kamak, who I know you would be plugging in with.
As a former board member, I think this is very valuable, most valuable to the current board member, mm-hmm. because there's the history there now, and how it's changed, and what are the good things that have come out of that. And I think you will really, I think it should be required reading.
Well, we had two or three board members here who got very excited about this conversation and actually pulled away some side conversations to just keep tapping.
Because as a board member who did not have this kind of input, it's pretty hard to try to get it in 1 week or 2 weeks in the summer when the board meets here. Mm-hmm. To really know for yourself what Holden really is all about.
Well, and I want to say, as a researcher, this has been an incredible opportunity to be here with the range of voices in this. I mean, you can think about one-on-one, on the telephone, faceless person, great conversation, but to have the interaction and to have this kind of participant research that Gary was talking this morning, where we're not only the kind of experts coming in to listen disinterestedly and then jot things down, but to have the incredible dynamic going on with people, you know, within the groups, asking each other questions and saying, well, that prompts, here's this piece of my own ideas, but that prompts four other memories that wouldn't have come if I'd just been talking to you. So the wisdom of a convocation like this in part of the folks that wrote this grant has been just, I've learned so much in this week. So
there seems like there's a way in, there's the value, the history and drawing things together. And I'll give one just little example being, we continue to carry a history, a lore of West Creek, because every teenager that goes down there to West Creek Avenue has some kind of encounter or feeling about West Creek. But what this convocation brought to go for me was the memory of the laying on of hand services, which are similar now to the prayer around the cross. But West Creek, who was the village buffoon in so many ways, you know, and that's which is also celebrated, is also the same West Creed that would lay his hands on you and speak words from God in terms of affirmation and proclamation and promise and encouragement that were themselves so transformative for us there. And it's like, wow, I kind of forgot about that, you know? But that was also significant, and it seems that that ought to be part of what other people who go down to West Creed Avenue know, that you can really be a fool for Christ at Holden Village, and the chief among them was perhaps Wes, and many of us. But that's gifts, you know, celebrating all kinds of gifts for ministry. Golden prayers and stupid jokes.
Thank you very much for joining the circle. And
thank you to everyone for being here.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.